And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, November 23rd, 2019. It's Season 13, Episode 42, and I'm Scott.
I'm RJ.
And I'm Nathan.
Welcome to the show, everybody, and especially welcome back Nathan, who has been off for a while.
It's been a minute.
Not been around.
Hot minute.
Yeah, if you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. Spit on my screen there. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at InGameChat. You can find us on Facebook at InGameChat. You can email us, everyone, at InGameChat.net. Basically, just go to our website, InGameChat.net. And then all the ways to get in touch with us, watch us, listen to us, all of that stuff is right there on the left side of the screen, and you'll see it. We're on Twitch right now, streaming the show, so you can see our faces that were made for radio shine. Twitch.tv. Go there, type in in-game chat, and then you'll be able to find us and watch us live while we broadcast, joining the chat room with everybody that's in there as well. You'll get to see me do this thing, which is ridiculous on the radio, but not when it comes to when I have to edit video.
Action.
Mm-hmm. So, welcome everybody to the show. Yeah, I know. It's a horrible thing. I hate that I have to do it, but it helps me sync the video up with everything else. So, this is the show before Thanksgiving for us, and we are going to be taking next weekend off. We will not be here for this for next weekend. We are running a replay. It's basically just the show we did 2 weeks ago when we were talking about some Black Friday deals. Although, in the process of going through and looking for that show, I said, "How far does this go back?" Because I clicked on one, and it was from like 2014. I thought, wouldn't that be nice to listen to whatever we were talking about at the time and see how either wrong we were and how not so right we were about whatever it was we were talking about or you know, any of that stuff. And then I said, well, let's see if we can go back further. So I found one from like 2007. I think the very first episode we ever did. Not the first episode we ever have that is recorded of us. And it's from March of 2007, I think. Yeah,
it's been a minute.
So, yeah. Well, Spigot Stan says, I want to call in and talk about Death Stranding. That's good that you do, because you'll be able to finally... We have not been able to talk about Death Stranding other than when Chris calls in and tells us about his experience with Death Stranding.
Mm-hmm.
Matt's not playing it. I'm not playing it. RJ's not playing it.
Okay.
Matt's probably not going to play it. I'm not going to play it. RJ's probably not going to play it.
There's a good chance it's not going
to
happen, yeah.
Well, you know what? I might pick it up on a deal. I don't know. You know, it'll be interesting to listen to what Nate has to say. It'll be interesting to listen to see what Brock has to say.
What's the threshold for you? About $20?
You know, in that Control neighborhood,
yeah.
You know, that I'm picking up Control in for, like this week, I finally get Control and get to play it because it's dropping in price.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat for Judgment. I was going to get Judgment, but I wanted to buy my time and wait because of the backlog that I've got, of course. And by the time I'd get to it, probably would be around $20 to $30. So I think it's around 30-something now for Black Friday. It was a Black Friday deal or something you mentioned about it.
For Judgment?
I believe so.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe so. There was a deal going on right now that was, there's a deal for, oh, we already got a phone call. Do you remember how that works, Nate?
You just hit it.
You pick up the phone, then you hit the green button, and then when you want to put them on hold, you hit the button again, and then you're good. Yeah. It's been a while since Nate had to do that.
I'm about to say, just hit buttons and pray.
Yeah. No, Best Buy has, like, for certain member status things that you can, some of their Black Friday deals are already available. And I was scrolling through looking, and it's all console stuff, and I didn't, because I really want Just Cause 4, and it's already there for like $30. I think for the day one edition, whatever, it's $30. And I was thinking about picking it up, but I really want it for PC just because of all the mod community and everything that goes on there. So I'm kind of refraining on that. There was, though, Shadow of the Tomb Raider. Again, something I would rather play on PC, but the Steelbook Edition, which is really only available if you buy it off console, is there for, I think, $30.
Where is that?
Best Buy. Okay. Some of their sales started today. Early bird Black Friday sales started today. So that was on there. I waited, and I was like, nah.
That's that store that left us, right?
Yeah, the one that, yeah. Oh, man, yeah, I have no idea.
Oh, I know.
I talked to him because I'm buying a fridge. I have to buy a fridge. My fridge broke. So I'm buying a fridge, which is basically where the majority of my Black Friday money is going, sadly. Or beneficially, because, you know, keeps food cold and drinks cold, and, you know, you need a fridge.
Priorities, man. Priorities.
I know. Especially for that eggnog.
Alcoholic or not?
Non-alcoholic. No, okay. No. I don't ruin perfectly good eggnog with alcohol.
Okay.
I can get the effects of alcohol without putting eggnog in it.
With just alcohol?
Yeah, okay. Really. I mean, I don't need to put anything in it. I'm good. I don't need to ruin alcohol or ruin eggnog with some alcohol. No, I love eggnog, by the way.
Who's selling eggnog shakes? Who's doing that this year?
I don't know, but I don't necessarily enjoy the thought of it.
Eggnog shakes?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's just, okay, so.
Now I want recipes now. I'm thinking of recipes now. Go ahead.
I mean, it's bad enough that I have a lactose intolerant type situation going on.
Never stopped you before.
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't, you know. It doesn't. But if you start mixing milkshakes in with the eggnog, it's a recipe for disaster is what that is. Probably tastes great, but I just, you know, straight neat. Eggnog neat. Anyway, this is going nowhere.
Oh,
but
fast.
I was at the store.
Lactate makes eggnog if you need it.
It tastes horrible.
Oh, you tried it already?
No, okay. No. I get the stuff that'll hurt me, and I enjoy it.
That was our segment of talking eggnog,
right? Mm-hmm. So I went to the store that previously left us. And also left the area here, too, because there was one 5 minutes from my house, and there was one 5 minutes from the radio station.
Less than 5 minutes.
Yeah. And now they've both gone and moved.
And it left Alabaster.
Did they, too? Well, I mean, I wasn't going to Alabaster, but anyway. But now it's like 10 minutes away from the radio station now. Which is even longer away from...
20 from your job.
Yeah,
or house.
From the house. Even longer away from the house. And the guy, when I was buying the fridge, one of the guys who had been at the Prattville store was saying, "Hey, man, good to see you. How's the radio business? All this great stuff." And I said, "Hey, yeah, I hate that you guys moved." He said, "Yeah." And I said, "Is it any bigger?" He's like, "Nope. It's pretty much same size here. Everything's same size." And I said, "Yeah, well, I hate it, but I also like it because I think it's saving me money. Because if I get because the other day, sitting at the house, I had the thought of, let me just go get that Jedi Fallen Order. Let me just go play that. I mean, I'll just go buy it. Let's go." And it was like, "Well, I gotta have to drive all the way into Montgomery. All right, not gonna do it." So, it gives me time to think on these spur of the moment purchases, where by the time I wake up and it's like, "Okay, time to go get that thing you wanted last night," it's like, "Yeah, I don't want it anymore." So. I think it's going to help me a lot.
Yeah.
It's especially going to help me this weekend. Because this weekend, with the way that their hours worked, I would go in at like 7 o'clock at night and look around and do some stuff or whatever. And then maybe whatever, I'd have some weird itch. And I'd go at 1 in the morning or midnight or 11 p.m., drive over there and buy a bunch of
crap. Like when we saw you.
Yeah, buy a bunch of crap.
Just buying Hue lights and...
Exactly. I need to add to the collection. I actually have no more places to put a Hue lights, actually. But anyway, it's not there anymore, so it's going to be different. I'll just sit at home and grind on Destiny 2, which I've got a lot of stuff to do.
When I plan on, before I forget, I want to play that, but I'm just going to rent it, per se, on Origin Access.
Rent? Oh, the Fallen Order?
For Fallen Order.
Yeah.
Just to do it that way. Because I want to play
that piece. Is that Brock?
Yeah,
sure. Okay, that's Brock. He called in really early. and I also wasted a lot of time talking about nothing. So maybe we should jump into the Death Stranding discussion. It's been out now for 2 weeks?
Yes.
Yeah. And we haven't really had a chance to talk about it other than with Chris. So Nate's here. That's what he's been playing. He's got opinions on it. Brock has opinions on it. So, let's take our first break early.
Okay.
This will give us...
plenty.
Yeah, like 45, 35, 45 minutes worth of
talking
about it. So if Brock can hang on the line, we're going to take a quick break.
It's about the length of a cutscene.
Yeah, right. Cutscene, play for 5 minutes. Cutscene for 10, play for 5. Cutscene for 25, play for 2.
That's what I heard about. That's what I heard about Death Stranding was basically it's an interactive movie.
It's Kojima. He loves the cutscenes. Anyway, we're going to break. When we come back, we'll talk about Death Stranding. We have got music. There is no central theme other than the game selected came from Super Nintendo or Sega Genesis. That's all these came from.
That's a theme.
This one is the Super Nintendo version of Spider-Man and the X-Men Arcade's Revenge. It is the final stage song. You're going to get a lot of 8-bit, 16-bit, you know, MIDI-type music going on here. So we'll be back with more in-game chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Does anybody have any idea what this is from?
Sunset Riders.
You are correct, RJ with the win. It's before your time. Likely before, like literally before your time, I believe. What's the year on Sunset Riders?
I don't know, look it up. Early 90s or late 80s, something like that.
What year were you born?
92.
What we got on that? Let's now see. We're playing, was Nate born yet?
91.
91, yep.
Nate was not born yet.
Still a fun game though. This is one of my favorite side-scrolling games that I've ever played. Man,
I kind of like that game. I'm gonna see if I can work something around that.
This call is a new segment.
Yeah, was Nate born yet? We're gonna give you the title of the game, and if you can tell, so we'll have somebody call in, and we're like, we're gonna give you the title of a video game. If you can tell us in 30 seconds if Nate was born before or after that game was released, you'll win something.
I'd say 15. You can do a web search in 30 seconds.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's got to be fast. You got 5 seconds to tell us. Which is fine, because it's a yes or no question. It's a one answer question.
It's 50-50.
Before or after. That's it.
50-50 chance. You got good odds.
I like that. Was Nate born yet? We're gonna come up. We're gonna make something out of that.
Yeah, we gotta make what we do.
I've got so many loot crates to give away.
This is true.
I figured out how to do it.
There's a room in your house full of that stuff, isn't it?
There's a box. There used to be like stacks upon stacks.
Like a third of the room was taken up by these things.
Yeah, but those have been put into boxes. Those have been categorized as far as what is in them, and then they've all been put into boxes right now to kind of make space for other crap that comes into my home.
And I'll say one more thing before we go to Brock. That's actually a common thing in my job as well.
Was Nate born yet? Yeah. Oh, no, it is.
This was before your time, and then we look it up. It's like 98, and they're like, okay.
Yeah, like when I said before your time, I was thinking, you know, you won't remember it. But then I thought, no, this game might have come out before he was even born.
A thing?
Yeah. Before he was even a thing.
Before my release date?
Yeah, before your release date. Yep. Who released first, Nate or this game? Oh man, that's got some contextual stuff going on there. But let's bring into the show here Brock, also known as Spigot. So if you hear us call him either way, you know what he's. You know he's kind of got a radio name.
There you go.
So hey man,
how you going, guys?
We're doing pretty good. How's you guys have what, Boxing Day on Monday, next Monday?
Not quite.
No, that's after. What is
that's
it?
That's the day after Christmas.
The day after Christmas.
Yeah.
And that is your Thanksgiving, correct?
Well, no, we had Thanksgiving last month.
Oh, no, that was okay. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Canadian Thanksgiving is in October. It's their Halloween.
Oh.
No, we have Halloween.
I'm just kidding.
Come on.
But is it early or mid October for that?
It's like the second Monday in October is our Thanksgiving.
Okay, second Monday in October. Okay.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding. I did not know though the Boxing Day, and I knew Canadian Thanksgiving was like somewhere, but yeah. So
it's actually interesting because, you know, we've over the last couple of years started to have Black Friday sales and everything up here. You know, around the same time you guys have your Black Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But up until maybe, you know, say 5 years ago, we never really had those sales. We had Boxing Day sales. So Boxing Day was our Black Friday. So we'd go out to the stores first thing, you know, all the gate crashers, all the huge discounts. That was our Boxing Day. Mm-hmm. And that was basically the equivalent of Black Friday deals.
Let me ask you a question. Since, and you may not know this, but since Boxing Day deals were so much sooner than Black Friday deals, did you notice any sort of a difference, or were the deals just about the same? I know there's conversion rate and all this other stuff, but did you notice that were deals better on Boxing Day or United, you know, American Black Friday?
They'd be about the same. Granted, we not sometimes see the same huge discounts that you guys would on things. But again, by that point, you know, at end of December that we're seeing those things. So, you know, you've got the sort of post-Christmas rush. But, yeah, now that we're seeing the Boxing Day stuff, it's still, you know, it's about what you guys get for Black Friday stuff. Though we started having Black Friday deals as of yesterday up here. I think because Black Friday is so late this year.
It is. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So I think we just were like, we're doing Black Friday starting a week early.
Yeah.
So we almost have a Black Friday week of sales up here.
Fubel plays. It says, "Did they have fights or crush people in Walmart in Canada?" That's not how Canadians are.
No. It's fights to let the other person in first.
Yes. Unless it's on the ice, everything's good. Yeah, everything's like, hey, you guys go first. Let's talk about. I really can't contribute to this conversation other than what I've seen, and I have not done. I have not done any favors for myself to want to like this game because all the stuff I've read about is just the negative. Mm. And I think, honestly, it's because there is so much positive. There's a ton of fantastic reviews on this thing. It's reviewed mainly well. I don't know what the Metacritic is, but I know that it's been reviewed favorably. But when you read forums, it's divisive.
Yeah, it is. I'll put it this way to start off with. I put about 25 or so hours into it over the first weekend it came out, and I did not expect to do that. So basically from like the Friday till the Monday, I put something like 25 hours into it.
You didn't expect to do that because you didn't think you'd have the free time, or what do you think?
Bit of just having the free time, and also when I first started playing it, and after having read a few reviews just before I started playing it, I was kind of thinking, this is going to be dicey. I probably won't stick with it very long. And then I just got completely sucked into it, and I put over 40-some-odd hours into it now over the last couple of weeks. You know, I had a couple of days off, so I was able to put a lot of time in over that first weekend.
Do you agree with any of the, and I don't know if you've read any of it, but do either of you, Date or Spigot, do either of you somewhat agree or completely disagree with some of the criticisms that the game has received?
I don't blame people for not liking it. If you were to play it and just it did not click for you, it would be perfectly understandable to me. Like, it's one of those games, I think, it is a very particular flavor, and that's before you even get to the Kojima weirdness. It is a very different kind of game, and if it doesn't kind of get its hooks into you, or it's not the sort of game that you want to play, like if you're looking for action and, you know, all sorts of crazy, you know, explosions every 5 minutes or something like that, this is not the game for you. It is It is a somewhat slow game, but the core loop of it, for me, is just so satisfying and almost relaxing that I just keep playing it, playing it, playing it, playing it. And when I'm not playing it, I'm thinking about playing it.
The core loop being the fetch quest, is that what you're saying?
Basically, you're delivering it. The game is you're doing deliveries.
Let me ask you, did you ever play Vanilla WoW?
Myself, way back in the day. Okay. I haven't played it recently, but I mean back when it first started, yeah.
So I loved that whole aspect of Vanilla WoW, and you did a lot of fetch quests. So it kind of, with me been playing Vanilla WoW and then jumping to this game, it's almost like a warm-up of doing this. And I totally agree. I was telling Scott earlier that I totally could see someone not liking this game.
And they'd be totally justified in not liking it.
Totally.
I think that's one of those. That's why I've had people ask me if, you know, should I play this? And I'm like, it depends. How different do you like your games? So
to the point where I almost don't think I could answer that for someone, because it's like you have to be someone that likes doing these type of things.
Yeah.
So. But it's also one of those things where I'm like you, is where I could just start sitting down. I know I have my main mission, but on next thing you know, I'll see something shiny and go do that for an hour and a half. And I'm like, oh yeah, I still have to go do my main mission.
Yeah, I've just been trying to get maxing out each outpost's
life
of me before I move on to the next story mission, if I can do that.
And for me, it was once I realized how the whole community system with building the bridges and the highways work.
Oh yeah!
Like, oh my gosh! I have to build these bridges.
Yep.
I have to complete these.
Explain what that is.
So
it's got asynchronous multiplayer, sort of like Dark Souls.
Yeah.
In the sense that you're not actually playing with people, but you don't have to worry about someone invading your game unless that's something that happens late in the game that I'm not aware of. But you build structures. So again, like the whole point of the game is you're in like this post-apocalyptic America. You're trying to deliver things across the country and sort of reestablish a network so that people can start to connect with each other and have access to resources and things like that. And
now this is slightly spoilerish, but not really. They had someone previously to you had set up the system and it got destroyed. So you're rebuilding what they were trying to finish.
Yeah, like they sort of planted the seeds, and you're going around watering.
So that's why some of the things are already there for you to build upon.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're trying to reconnect. And then, so as you go and you go to a new area and you connect into a network, what you can also do as you're going along is build structures like storage depots, put ladders down to help
climbing
cross
anchors.
Things. You can build bridges across ravines and streams and things like that. And once you connect to the network, it just randomly grabs a bunch of structures from other players, and that they'll start showing up in your world. So all of a sudden, you'll start to see bridges that other people have built, ladders that people have left to cross tricky spots, things like that. And it makes your life a little easier. And then when you put things down, those things will show up in other people's games.
And as well as some of the things you can just simply put down, like a ladder, and other people can use your ladder. Some of the bridges. Not the highways, but the bridges, like you were saying, to go over rivers and stuff like that. You build the initial structure, and if you can finish it with the material, if you ceramics, metals, stuff like that, then you can finish it. But if you just put it there, the initial structure, and then leave it, other people could finish it for you.
Oh, okay.
And that's how you can help other people. Yep.
It's not persistent. In other words, when I log off and stop playing for that day and I come back on, it's going to randomly grab things.
No. So basically, it seems to be the stuff that you have is persistent from session to session. It's just what will come in when you reconnect to new things, or what new things will be built is random.
Okay.
And you can sort of make connections with people, again, as you sort of interact with people's structures, and you can give them likes to say, like, I like your thing, thank you very much. That also is a feature where you can sort of boost things and sort of build connections there, and I think you get more things from those particular people as you have more connections with them, stuff like that. I'm not 100% sure how it all works, but I'm guessing that's how it works. But it's just neat how that happens. So, the longer people are playing, the more things there are potentially out there that will populate your world when you go in there, so it makes your trek a little easier.
And as well as you can leave vehicles to other people. You can leave other supplies to help people build things throughout little areas within the storage units, as he was saying, to better support people when they need things.
Okay.
So it's very, it's kind of a nice positive vibe too. I think that's why I like it too. It's just,
me too.
There's an overall, even though it's kind of a bleak game in some ways and very strange, the underlying theme to it is all about connections and you know, being positive and reinforcing each other as opposed to tearing everybody down. So
and one thing I'm almost sort of excited to do is when I log in to see what other people have built and added.
Yeah.
Because it's not one of those things where people just constantly build things and then it looks dumb. I think there's like a finite amount of things that can be built.
Oh, okay.
To support,
I was curious.
To support you. Because
you'll
see a bridge and then those bridges will stay there. But it doesn't, you know, if I think if more people keep building like bridges along it, it will eventually just stop allowing you to see.
Yeah. Mm. You only have a certain amount of sort of bandwidth, as it were, in the network to hold these items and things like that. So,
and now you can destroy other people's stuff.
Okay.
Like set it up with traps and things like that?
No. Just if someone builds something that's useless, you can destroy it.
Okay.
But if somebody builds something that's useful, you can also destroy it?
I haven't tried that.
Yeah, but you're basically just hurting yourself. Then. Yeah. It's not like it's going to necessarily come out.
You must not have played games for a while.
Yeah. And they're like
people like doing that.
Yeah, isn't like you can also put like warning signs and things up there, like that, right?
But it's not necessarily.
It would be very, very difficult to grief somebody in this game.
And the other thing is, more likely than not, from how I understand it, if you destroy that, it's only going to hurt yourself.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to hurt my gameplay. Like, that bridge will still be there.
Oh, it'll still be there for you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's only going to destroy your
world. Okay.
That's an interesting way for that to work. So you destroy it in your world, but it stays there for everybody else's.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then there's no point.
So there's anti-griefing then, Like I said, hard to grief in this game.
Yeah, you can just get, I think you can sometimes just get resources, or you just dismantle it because you don't really need it there. Maybe it's not in a great spot, or it's blocking your path for something else. So.
Okay.
And some people put the bridges where they're bad locations and you can readjust them.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's, you know, I think, RJ, you were saying something about it being like a cutscene galore and everything like that. And honestly, I think unless you're just trying to plow through it, there are some lengthy cutscenes because it is Kojima. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're putting 5-10 hours in between them, and then you'll get like a spate of them, and then they're all out there. And then you trundle around for a while after that, and then you're just chatting with people when you drop off deliveries, but those are quick little, you know, 2-minute conversations here and there.
Well, one thing else I was going to say about helping other people, you can lose your cargo.
Oh, yeah.
And if that is other supplies, or there's enemies called mules, and they're scavengers kind of who have camps throughout the game. If you drop something and then go too far away from it, it gets stolen by them. And then they put it in their storage lockers, and someone else can, in their instance, go to, like, once they destroy their camp, if they take all of the lost cargo out of their stuff and then return it back, it returns back to you.
Hmm.
So you can help other people get their lost cargo returned. And that gives you stuff as well, so it's kind of like an incentive to return people's lost cargo.
Yeah, there is a slow decay on AC Resident saying that like, there are some things as you go along. Like, I've had stuff in sort of the first area, I'll get notifications saying, like, this ladder is deteriorating, you know, this post box is deteriorating, things like that. So things will eventually erode and disappear. But,
Do you know if that's because of Timefall?
Pardon?
Do you know if it's because of the Timefall?
Well, that's the in-game justification for it.
Can these things be repaired?
Timefall is basically the rain, and it ages things. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, so basically when the rain falls, things that are exposed decay faster. So like even your cargo, if you're carrying cargo, the boxes will start to rust.
Okay.
And you'll have to try to fix them or hope that they don't completely degrade and then that starts hurting.
But the way that Timefall sounds like something's really hard to maintain. If it's constant in certain areas and sometimes not?
Sometimes. And then, you know, but there are some things that sort of have an in-game explanation as to why they're resistant to it. So,
okay.
But like your ladders and ropes and stuff like that tend to deteriorate pretty fast because they're not as resistant. So,
I'm thinking of a situation where you're on a bridge and things like in bad repair and the thing breaks halfway over there or something.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, it's if it's gonna do that, like it'll by the time you get to it, it'll show that it's in like pretty rough state.
Yeah. So I was thinking something.
Like, you're not just going to get halfway across and then have the Wile E. Coyote it.
Right.
Yeah, I was thinking of something like that. Make you think, do you really want to use this bridge or do you want to look around and try to find another way to get across? Because this is risky going across this thing right now. Something like
that.
That's the situation.
Thing. The core of the game is just navigating the world, and they've done a fantastic job in just, you have to manage your weight, so how you store things on your pack, how you traverse terrain and everything like that.
What you bring.
You can't just jump around like you're like Assassin's Creed where you're just trundling all over everything, jumping off cliffs and stuff like that. If there's a rock in the way, you have to climb over it. If it's not even ground, you have to make sure you're leaning to the side that you need to. And again, I can totally see why people would be put off by that if that is just something you don't want to do.
Yeah, because
great. But it's not that difficult. Like, it's not that involved. It's basically just holding a trigger button or both of them. And eventually you'll get better at keeping your balance better. Mm-hmm. So unless you've got 500 pounds of stuff on you, you're not going to fall over. But it's just really interesting. And it can be really tense if you're going into an area where you don't have a lot of the extra stuff to help you, and you've got a lot of stuff you're trying to deliver and not get wrecked, and then having to navigate a steep, cliff or something like that. And I did once where I went into the mountain and I realized halfway through it I don't have any ropes or ladders, and I had to try and make my way through it without falling off, because if I fell off I'm dead. So
Brock, I was about to ask, so because the main character in the story, he's not like some military trained something like that, he's just a delivery man, right? Nothing
basically.
He's not nothing like a military soldier or anything like that. He's just a regular guy delivering stuff in this world.
He's not like a
world.
Navy SEAL who likes to deliver Amazon packages.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, they are somewhat trained.
But it's,
he's
not a super soldier kind of thing.
Correct.
Okay, yeah.
Put it that way. It is, again, it is a very acquired taste, and I don't blame people for maybe not jumping on board or wanting to wait and try it. Like, If you kind of got the heebie-jeebies, hold off for a good sale. But I am totally smitten with it, and the soundtrack is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we focused on that the day of release. I think we played nothing but tracks from Death Stranding. Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's not. I'll tell you, Kojima's never been on my radar as far as that's concerned. I bought into the hype of Metal Gear Solid 4 for PS3, and I actually played that, and I bought into that, and I was not necessarily disappointed with it. It's stealth action, that sort of thing. I like that kind of gameplay. Although Phantom Pain, Metal Gear Solid 5, I was not on board with. Which
I
honestly
didn't enjoy that one as much.
Yeah, some of that seems to have to be like a primer for what he was eventually moving into, because
if this was a Metal Gear Solid 6, and they did it like this, you know, with whatever justification they have for it, I don't know if I would have enjoyed it as much, but I think because it's a whole new thing, so they can just do all the crazy stuff, they can have it be completely different.
Well, they was experimenting with that open world.
The open world, yeah, the open world is there, but. You know, just how it works. If it was in a different franchise, if it was in Metal Gear, I don't know if I'd enjoy it as much.
Yeah.
But being its own thing, and Kojima just letting loose with all the weird stuff, too, with the baby and everything like that, like, I don't know. It's just, it's God's hooks in me. And I was a little surprised, actually, how much it's God's hooks in me. Even last week when I started playing some Jedi Fallen Order, I played that for a couple of days, and I'm like, I need to get back to Death Stranding. So...
Like, you've said so far on at least two occasions now that you were surprised by how you felt about the game. Going into it, did you have expectations of not liking it, or were you hesitant to jump in?
Yeah, I wasn't actually. I think until the day before was when I kind of finally just pre-ordered it on the PS4. I had kind of just talked myself out of it. I was like, it looks interesting, but I'll just wait for a sale. And especially when I started seeing some of the reviews at first, it's just a big walking simulator.
Yeah.
And then it made me think, you know what, though? I do like the Kojima weird stuff, and there's just enough of it that, again, given my taste in games, that I got to try it. And so I just decided to try it. And again, the first night I was just a little, because it was so rough just trying to navigate things that I'm tripping and falling over the place. I'm going, if this is the whole game, I'm going to hate it. But once I got a handle on kind of how to navigate the world and things started to make sense, and half the thing for me now is just, I want to learn more about this world. I want to get the lore. I want to unlock more things that tell me what's going on and why things are the way they are. So that's kind of like crack for me when, in a lot of games. Like,
yeah, the reason I don't ask Nate that question is because he has been on board from pretty much the beginning, it seems.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's why I didn't ask him that question, if anybody's wondering. Now, which version of it did you get? Did you get baby version?
I changed three times.
Oh, did you?
I was going to get the BB version. Then I was going to just get
Is that
the
baby version, yeah. the one that comes with the baby? Okay, correct. Yeah.
Then oh, there's a version that comes with an actual, with a little
like
baby?
Full-sized.
Yeah.
It's
it
like
comes with that full-sized little oh orange bubble thing. Yeah.
The baby in the gel, like the baby in the gel pack or whatever it is.
Yeah.
A buddy of mine was raving about getting that and messing with folks in his family.
Now,
so, yeah.
I do plan on getting that, but I'm going to wait. Because, you know, they always eventually start selling.
How much was it at launch?
$200.
At launch. $200 at launch. Okay.
Yeah. That version, yes.
That version of it, yeah.
However, I did have
it. Unless you got it during a Boxing Day sale.
I did have the Gamers Club when I was going to get it.
Yeah, that's true.
But then I was going to get the Just a Steel book, and then I decided to just go ahead and upgrade my... I had a launch PS4, and I had been wanting to get a 4K TV.
Oh!
So oh, how's it looking, we have how's it looking some, on 4K?
Hey, we got some new stuff to talk about! Hey!
So I...
What'd you do?
So I traded in my PS4.
Yeah.
Got the PS4 Death Pro? Stranding. Pro.
You got the Pro. You got the Death Stranding Pro version, the one that's got the stuff on it.
With the handprints on it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then I got
You got a 4K TV?
Yeah, and then I got the Sony 950
G. The
X950G.
Yes. Yeah. 4K. I know that one. Is that a 65? Did you get in 65?
I got a 55.
Oh, 55. Okay.
Because yeah. That'll be my bedroom house, or bedroom TV once I get a house in a few years.
Gotcha.
But, so... You know, HDR and all that. So
no.
I got both of those right at the same time.
Is the text any bigger on the 4K?
Oh, that's right. That's a complaint I've seen.
Not tiny text. So small.
Yeah, it's not.
The subtitle text is horrible.
We're talking
Dead Rising version. You know how Dead Rising was?
No, I never played Dead Rising. I'm thinking more of Condemned. Criminal Origins.
I can't give you on that. I remember
Dead Rising was the famous one from back in the day.
Dead Rising was famous for it because it was a launch title on the 360.
Yeah.
And the...
Right when they were doing the transition to HD.
Yeah, they were moving into HD and the text was just so small. I can't remember if they ever patched it and fixed it or not.
I want to say it was Condemned 2 because that was...
That might have been one too, yeah.
I want to say it was Condemned 2 because I remember the color, not only was the size of the text bad, it was the color of the text. It was like a light, somewhere between orange and yellow-orange. And it blended in really well. That was the problem. It blended in really well with a lot of scenery. So it was like you had to squint and get close to the TV. So that was a problem in and of itself. So I would think in this day and age they'd resolve that problem in any game.
I mean, I'll be honest. It's one of those things where I didn't notice it until I saw someone made a comment like, oh, this text is way too small. And I was like, oh, I guess it is kind of small.
I had to move closer to TV. But, maybe I'm just getting too old. But, I mean, I had to... actually moved from my nice comfy chair to my couch so I could be closer to the TV to be able to read most of the text and the stuff. So
I think it's safe to say we're all used to subtitles and looking at things like that. Maybe that has something to do with it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how, and I also don't know how Death Stranding. Do you have God of War?
I do.
Did you put that in there?
I haven't tested it yet. I did test Red Dead.
It is beautiful in HDR and nice and 4K
I'll test
stuff.
That tonight.
MLB The Show should be that way too.
Spider-Man looks good, but God of War blew me away. I haven't tried Horizon to see what that looks like in HDR, but I've heard really good things about that.
Title I haven't started yet.
So I'm very
curious
about
I'm still playing
on
my launch PS4, and Death Stranding runs just like it is super smooth. Mm-hmm. I think I've had the tiniest bit of slowdown a couple times with some particle effects when things are getting a little crazy.
I know, and the weird part is that the PS4 Pro isn't actually putting out a true 4K image.
Yeah.
So as stunning as you might be to what you're seeing, it can actually be a little bit better. Wow. I don't necessarily know that the eyes would be able to tell the difference.
I did test the 4K on my computer.
Yeah. Did you? Uh-huh. You hooked that up to your 4... Do you have a 4K
monitor?
I have a 10...
Monitor?
No, that's a 1440p.
Oh, okay. Well, then
how I was saying I connected the TV to my computer.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
I'm saying I've tested its 4K output.
Yeah.
Like a true
What, your TV?
Yeah.
Oh, I know that is. I'm talking about your Pro.
I know.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just saying I have tested it.
Okay, yeah. Can you see a difference in what? Can you?
You can.
I mean, it's got to be small. It's got to be slight.
But it's not a, you know, we're not talking like
you're pixel hunting at that point, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I know. You're getting into the nitpicky territories whenever you get there.
One thing, go back real quick. So my immediate thought when I started playing that game was, you know, you were talking about, you were a little bit like, ugh, this is going to suck. You have to, like, control your character from falling and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I did immediately notice and was very impressed with the initial characters' animations and actions with the environment.
Oh, yeah.
You can tell they put a lot of time into how he would traverse the landscape of different levels and how he'll react to human would need to traverse through the rocks and through the land and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think after my initial sort of worry that it was going to be, like, just unplayable.
Yeah.
And I got used to it. Like, it's, again, I think that's also half the reason I like it, because I can't just kind of go on autopilot and press forward. Like, you have to sit there and plan your path and know how he's going to react and then react yourself. If things slow, start shifting here or there. If you run down a hill too fast, like, he's going to pick up momentum.
And and I love that aspect of the gravity being a issue, like, you know, if you're not careful.
Like, it's realism, but in a way that actually works. And also, as you go along and you get, you know, you do more things, you'll get better at keeping your balance and things like that too, which is nice too. So it's like, the more you do, then the more you're able to actually stay on your own 2 feet when you're wandering around and stuff. So
I want to. Chris is on the other line, and I want to try and conference you two in.
Uh oh.
So I'm gonna try.
First time trying this.
No, not really. Hey. Hey, Chris, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
And Brock, you there?
I'm here.
Can you guys hear each other?
Yep.
All right, good. Because I know that Chris wanted to talk about...
Hey, Chris, how's it going?
I know Chris has been playing Death Stranding as well, and I know he wanted to jump in on the conversation also, so...
I'm completely hooked like both of y'all.
That's good to hear.
Yep. I mean...
And I just spent, like, 3 or 4 afternoons, like, 3 or 4 or 5 hours straight in the first area doing a zip line network, all connecting all the hubs and...
Zip lines?
Yeah, the zip line.
You haven't gotten to zip lines yet, Spigot?
Nope.
That was my one question. Which chapter are you in?
I'm in chapter 3. I spent about 30 hours just in chapter 2.
Hold up. Okay, so Spigot's in chapter 2.
No, I'm in chapter 3 now, but I spent a lot of time in chapter 2.
And then, Chris, where are you?
I'm in chapter 5 in the next region.
Okay, and you're building your... When do you get zip lines?
At the beginning of chapter 5.
So
what I've seen so far, that ain't probably no ways into it. It seems like there's a whole lot more going into it. So, yeah, if you rush through it and all, you know, it's going to be a while till you get there, but I got hooked on, you know, that the lady that gave you the technology had a couple of them set up, and I thought, I want to go back to the first region and just set up networks all over the place and just zip around.
Oh,
Lord
cool.
have mercy. Good Lord. I wasted, I didn't waste that 4 days, 4 afternoons, about 4 or 5 hours apiece doing it, but yeah, it was a blast.
Hey, so Chris, let me ask you something. Are you getting the same feeling you're getting with zip lines as you did with Just Cause, the having all the fun you could do building stuff and moving around with like you did in Just Cause?
The zip line doesn't work like Just Cause where it comes out of his...
Well, not quite that. The feeling of like building stuff and playing around like a big playground, basically.
Yeah, I do. And what I like about these zip lines, you know, they're not affected by gravity, so you can go up, down, hit downhill, and as long as you upgrade the tower, and, you know, because
the regular one will
reach 300 meters, but if you upgrade the tower from any point from that tower, it will reach 350 meters. So I thought, I might want to put a tower here, and I go into the map, and I put down a waypoint, and it'll tell you exactly how far it is away from where you're standing, and say, that's 348 meters. Yeah, that's good enough. I can put one here.
Yeah, I can zip it.
It's like an electronic thing where you're having a ring in your right hand, and it lifts you up in the air, and you just zip along it like it's a zip line, and like you're going downhill on a real zip line.
It's like a tram stay. It's like a tram network.
Yeah, it's like a tram. Like a tram.
Nice. But
it goes uphill or downhill. You know, it doesn't matter as long as it reaches from one tower to the next. You can go anywhere, and as long as you can build a tower where you want to put it.
Question for you, Chris. Do the towers deteriorate?
They do, but all the structures do deteriorate over time, but from what I've, as long as I've been playing, it takes forever for them to deteriorate. But you can also go in there and repair them, mm-hmm. too.
Yeah.
So all the structures and bridges I had built are starting to become rusty and look like they're about to fall apart, but they still like got three-quarters of their material. You know, they're only down, you know, they're only down a quarter of their endurance or, you know.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Their structure stability type stuff. Yeah, I know what you're saying. So there you go. You guys have zip lines to look forward to when you get to chapter 5. How long are chapters? I know that's based on gameplay, really. But
it's depending on how fast you get to.
I've heard people just say, like, get to chapter 3 as fast as possible. So you could just kind of beeline it.
I've been just taking my time and having sweet fun. And if I thought, well, I want to just keep going, I enjoy this. I've, you know, like you did with your rankings with all the different people and delivery points, I was getting everybody's maxed out doing that.
Yeah, that and takes then, a lot longer if you're going to do that. If you're going to try to hit everybody and get them maxed out to their max star level for each
actually,
point.
Now that I think about it, I made a video and uploaded to YouTube. If any of y'all want to pull it up and look at it to see what these zip lines look like, you can see where I placed down all these points. And
well, do you ever join us in Twitch or anything like that?
No, I don't do Twitch.
Oh, well, I tell you what, then shoot it to me through Facebook, because I know you send me a lot of things through there. Shoot it to me through Facebook, and then I'll put it in the Twitch chat.
Okay.
So
yeah, I'll upload it or send you a link to it or put it on Facebook where you can get to it that way and share it.
I was going to say real quick, basically chapter 1 is all of your cutscene videos.
Yeah.
Yep.
A little bit of playing. Chapter 2 is basically introducing you and how all the mechanics work.
Mm-hmm.
And then 3 is really...
How many chapters are there? Do any of you know?
I have no idea.
Don't know.
Okay. That's fine. That can be spoilerish for people. So I understand not trying to look that up. By the way, if you do look that up, RJ, don't say anything. Because I don't know. Some people might find it spoilery to know how many chapters are in a game. Some do, some don't.
I kind of don't like to.
Right.
It wouldn't kill me.
You know.
But I
only like to look at that if I'm starting to get a little bored.
That's my problem. I only look at that and I'm thinking, how far am I in? And then I look it up and I'm like, God, I'm not even halfway yet. Good Lord, this is dragging. Or I realize that I'm almost to the end. I'm like, okay, fine. This is good, and then I'll actually kind of... That's the problem. That's the problem, depending on what I look at, because I did this for God of War. I looked it up, and I said, wow, I'm not even halfway. And I felt good about that, because I thought, okay, that's great. I've still got a lot of story to go. This is good, because my progression has not been as fast as I thought it would be, which means, okay, my upgrades and everything will come with time. And then, you know, when it gets to, like, oh, I've only got 3 chapters left, and it's, I don't know, 8 o'clock at night, might as well plow through, and then I get into that rush of speeding through it. But anyway, we're about to come up on our break. Chris, thank you so much for calling.
And one other thing before y'all go, the structures, the way they work, if you happen to have somebody else's structure show up in your world, and if you delete it, it only takes it away from your world and doesn't delete it from their world. So, you know, if it's in your way and you don't like it, you know, you can go ahead and delete it. But from what I've seen, if you delete one of your structures, then it gets rid of it completely by yours and everybody else's if it showed up in somebody else's world.
All right.
There you go.
Well, Chris, thank you for calling here. I'm in Brock, I want to get a word in for you before you go. But, Chris, we'll talk to you 2 weeks.
All right.
Take care, man.
See you.
All right, y'all enjoy it.
See ya. Chris, Spigot, you still there?
Yep.
Okay, cool. We've only got a few more minutes left. Have you been playing anything else that, or unless you want to hang on the line?
I can for a tiny bit, but I do need to start making supper shortly.
Well, then let's not do that because we've got a break coming up, and a tiny bit is not what these breaks are. So what else have you played?
Played a little bit of Fallen Order.
Right. Have you played any of that, Nate? Okay.
I'll save it.
None of us have played any of that. Okay. I mean, Matt played it, and he is loving it. It is
Star Wars Dark Souls.
Yeah, that is a game that has surprised a lot of people.
It looks
actually
fun.
More so than anything else, that game has surprised a ton of people.
Yeah, and I didn't even realize that until I started playing. I was like, oh, I guess it is like Star Wars Dark Souls.
Yeah,
but it's
actually,
you know, it's a Dark Souls I can actually maybe have a chance of progressing in.
what else? Anything else?
I'm not very good at them. The Outer Worlds,
right.
Been working on that. Mm. And I picked up Children of Morta on the Switch today. It is an absolutely gorgeous game. I know it's been on the PC for a little bit, but it's basically a dungeon crawler, but it's all pixel art, but this is some of the most exquisite pixel art I've ever seen. So if you have a chance to look it up, you should check it out. It's Children of Morta.
Okay.
It's a gorgeous game.
Anything?
Yeah, those are the main ones I've been playing. Bit of Dragon Quest.
I was going to say, any 11. indie stuff on the PC you've been looking at?
Well, and then not so much on the PC, but because it's been Death Stranding for the last few weeks. Where the Water Tastes Like Wine is coming out on the Switch next week, and this was probably my favorite game from last year. So if you're, again, you want something that's kind of off the beaten track a bit, and you haven't played it already on the PC, pick that up.
Okay. There we go. I put that call on hold. Whoever's calling, hang on. We'll get to you in just a bit. Well, thanks so much for calling in. Give us your opinion there on Death Stranding.
And, no problem. Good. Always good to have someone else to talk to about it because I don't know anyone else.
No. Always good to hear from you. And just we'll talk to you again later.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, man. Bye bye.
Gotcha.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we may have somebody on the phone to talk to. But here is a track. This is interesting. I was not expecting this when I clicked on it. I was at a loss of what to get for music. So I started just, I just typed in like video game soundtracks and some 8-bit stuff came up. And I started listening. I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. So then I started looking and like narrow it to, let's get Genesis. I was going to get all Genesis. Then I said, well, let's get Genesis and some Super Nintendo. So... this comes from a Genesis game, 16-bit Genesis game. It is not like anything I ever expected to hear from this game. I looked up the composer. It is Jesper Kidd, who did the Assassin's Creed series, the Hitman series, Kane and Lynch. He's fantastic. I've never heard any of his stuff prior to like orchestrations and things like that from modern era gaming.
Right.
I'd never heard anything prior. This guy is a genius. What he is able to do with this technology, just 8-bit, whatever type, 16-bit technology, is unreal. So this comes from a game on the Genesis called The Adventures of Batman and Robin. I'm expecting to hear, because it's based on the animated series, I'm expecting to hear nothing but, you know, Batman animated series. No, it's completely different. You won't hear it on the radio, but he also uses stereo, where parts of it are coming in through the left channel, parts of it coming in through the right channel. It'll go left channel, boom, right channel, boom, left channel, boom, and just back and forth. Mm-hmm. And just amazing. Anyway, I probably hyped it up way too much. We'll be right back with more in-game chat after this. This is just the intro. This is the logo of the developers and Sega and everything else popping up during all this. It's amazing.
Was I born before this?
I don't know. It's a good question, though. We'll be back with more in-game chat after this. welcome back to In Game Chat. Music from, I think this is Genesis, Shinobi 3. Titled He Runs. For whatever reason it's titled that, but yeah, that's the track.
You have spoken.
Yeah. Let's see. As far as what the rest of us have been playing, for me it's been Destiny 2, and I've been doing the grind. So, what I mean is, Season 8 is coming to a close. Season 8 will finish December the 10th. That's when the next season starts. There are certain things that can only be done while Season 8 is currently active, where you will get credit for doing them. So I'm currently grinding that out. So many kills with this, so many kills with this, so many kills on the moon doing this. So there's a lot for me to do.
The grind continues.
It is a grind. And it's not really, it's just to get the title, or at least it's just to be able to get the title if I want it later on. Because these certain things, so a title, to let people know, a title is a collection of achievements. If you get these achievements done in-game, you'll earn the title. And the collection of achievements are usually very, very broad and very grindy on things. So many kills, again, going through it. So many kills with this, do this, run the raid, blah, blah, blah. All this crap. Yeah. Collect this weapon that are completely RNG dropped. Get these shaders. I mean, it's just all sorts of stuff. So the difference is that, and from what we understand, this is the first time it's happened, where certain things to earn the title that is available will expire once Season 8 is over. So I'm trying to knock those out before Season 8 is over. I won't knock everything out, but the stuff that expires, I want to get that done.
Mm-hmm.
The other stuff can wait. I don't have to worry about that until whenever. So that's kind of what I'm doing and where I'm at right now. So just, you know, playing the game. There's really nothing else to tell you. I'm doing the same things that I've always been doing. So, RJ, what have you been playing?
Still doing Code Vein. I'm trying to get all my characters up to level 300. So okay. I've been grinding on that a lot. I've also played a little bit of Mortal Kombat 11. We've got Sindel coming up soon. And we've already had the Terminator, the T-800, released earlier, but everyone's getting hyped up for Sindel. I think a lot of people are upset about the apparent character change they've done for her. She doesn't fit the description of what she was throughout the entire series. She's basically gone from a good queen turned bad to always bad. So people are a little bit upset about that. But she's, from what I've seen through the through videos and whatnot, she looks like she's going to be a pretty good good character to use. Just people can have a lot of fun with her combo wise and everything like that.
Well, good. I'm checking out the trailer for Children of Morta that
it's on sale right now on Steam, by the way, this weekend.
How big of a sale?
25%. Okay. Makes it $16.
Oh, okay.
It's got some insanely fluid pixel animation. Just really, really like flowy and fluid and very, what's the term I want to say? Maybe articulate, I guess. I'm not sure.
Pleasing to the eye.
Just like how, you know, instead of the hair just being a block, it's a couple of different sections and it moves and flows and that sort of thing. So
well detailed?
Well detailed, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just aesthetic maybe, I think. Mm-hmm. It's like that stuff that they put on action figures nowadays. 12 points of articulation.
Mm-hmm.
And so looking at that, oh, wow, that was amazing. Yeah, good looking stuff there. I don't know if it fits my genre, but looks good. Definitely looks good. So covering some things in the news. We'll hit that first one because you might be interested in it, RJ. That whole the unreleased version of Sonic the Hedgehog 3 that was found.
Mm-hmm.
Did you read into any of that?
No, I just remembered that people were positive about the fixed trailer.
Yeah, they got a hold of what must be one of the most interesting unreleased video games of all time, an early preview build of Sonic 3 that is quite different from what was released. Sonic 3 had a very hard time in development, It was an isometric 3D game before it went back to the classic 2D form. But that Sonic 3 in this earlier state wasn't really shown to the media, neither at events or via preview code. With one exception, Britain's Sega magazine was sent a copy for coverage, and that's the code that has been tracked down now. It's full of interesting changes from the game that we got in 94, including presence of a move that never made it into the final build, a drop dash. The preview code has been made available for download if you want to try it out in an emulator, and there is a link to it, so that's interesting.
Hmm. I remember the first, I think the first 3D one I saw for Sonic was Sonic Jam, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It was something that came out earlier before it got on before the Sonic Adventure came out on Dreamcast. That was the only experience I had with any 3D Sonic. I know they've made 3D versions of Sonic before, but that was the first exposure I ever had to it.
So, Google Stadia released this week, didn't it? It did.
Mm.
You wouldn't know. You wouldn't know because of all the. It is not received the fanfare that I think they were hoping for. This thing is not.
Look, with all the talk we had about it, man,
I
think a lot of people were just going to hold off anyway. Wait till it was finished.
Yeah, it is. We talked about the fact that it was releasing with like.
Did you buy it?
No.
Okay.
No. I tried it out last year. I did the beta test for it last year, and it worked fine. I loved it. Mm-hmm. I thought it was fantastic the way they did things, but. The more I heard about it when they started revealing more and more information about it, how it was going to work, how it was perceived as a separate platform, basically. It is not, while you are playing it mainly on your PC, while it seems to be, or at least lend itself to be, a PC platform, even though you can play it on your TV with Google Chrome, with Chromecast, or something like that, that still feels like it is PC-based. But no, they're keeping it in its own thing. So I'm not playing with other PC players, I'm playing with other Google Stadia players. And if that's not catching on, I ain't playing with hardly anybody, if that's the case.
And I also heard that if you buy a game when you have the Pro membership discounted through the Pro membership, you don't get to keep the game.
No.
Unless you still have the Pro membership.
See, I really haven't looked into too many details about it because it's just, it's fallen off my radar. It's even more so fallen off radars because of how non-well-received that it has been in release. It's been buggy for a lot of people. I know Random, who's currently grinding in Destiny 2 like I will be. I know that he picked it up. I don't know why, but he picked it up. He was interested in the tech. It hasn't been running too great for him either. It's not doing what it needs. This is one of those where I think Google's going to probably kill it quicker than most things. Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, that's Google's thing.
Yeah, I know. They're going to kill it anyways. But
yeah, that's Google's thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it kind of is.
We don't like where it's going early. Yeah, get rid of it.
yeah, there's the review. I got the reviews roundup. What does it say for Google Stadia? What are the reviews saying so far? Wired gave it a 6 out of 10. The Guardian, 3 out of 5. IGN says, if you're cursed with data caps from your internet provider, you might want to avoid this. The Verge says, no reason anyone should buy into Stadia right now. Polyun says, the biggest problem is that Stadia at launch hasn't provided a smooth, seamless experience when playing games. PC World says, a glimpse of a future some other company will probably perfect. GameSpot says too little too soon. VentureBeat, one of the many problems with Stadia is that you and I are not guaranteed to get the same experience. GamesRadar, if the circumstances are right, if your connection is strong, then Stadia feels like a potential pathway towards the future for this industry, and game streaming feels like magic. It did when I played it. When I did the beta test for it, I thought, this is fantastic. I love this. I didn't have to upgrade my PC to play this game. I didn't even have to empty hard drive space to play this game, and it was flawless. It was great. Mm-hmm. Now, I wasn't moving between platforms. Like, I wasn't playing it on my phone or a Chromecast. I was sticking with the browser-based PC aspect of it, and I liked that. But I was only playing one game, Assassin's Creed. That was it. They didn't give you any other you know, they didn't throw in a multiplayer game or anything like that to let you try out anything else. They didn't give you anything that's fast-paced to let you try out any of that. Mm-hmm. So you could only get so much. Ars Technica says Google's game streaming is too limited and too unreliable for too little benefits. CNET says gaming streaming future is not here yet. So not a lot of good things that were said about it. What else happened this week? Amy Hennig got a job. she took a position with Skydance. I haven't heard about them in a long time. But over a year after news broke that she was departing EA, former Uncharted creative director and longtime game developer Amy Hennig has signed on with Skydance Interactive. The team, according to a statement shared by a news outlet, aims to assemble interactive experiences designed to reach gamers and non-gamers alike on emerging streaming platforms. No specific platform or game beyond that pitch is mentioned in the statement, but she notes that those development efforts aim to yield titles with graphics in line with the visual fidelity of television and film. So we'll see what they bring. I am curious to see how it goes. I'm always curious with whatever she's working on and what she might be delivering. I was so curious for that Star Wars game she was working on, and I hate they canceled that. I can probably understand why, you know, that it's just earning too. We're spending too much money, and this thing is far too massive for us to continue to support.
This might be a bad analogy, but you know how much talent and potential she has.
You've
seen her work before, and it's almost like the last. How many years has she been?
I know.
First with Uncharted and now mm-hmm. this. It's like, you know, a really good football player or something that's been on bad teams. They're super good, but it's just been wasting, like, you know.
You would know potential. That analogy better than I would.
You know, just wasting potentials.
Yeah. I don't know. Skydance has got some money.
No, I'm not saying now. I'm just saying the last, 6 years?
Well, I don't... Yeah, exactly. And I'm not... I don't know about Skydance for this. I know Skydance from Walking Dead.
Yes.
Because they're the people behind a lot of that. And so I know the money is there. I just don't know if... I don't know what they can produce or what they can yield, you know, from that.
Well, let's just say a game comes out another year and a half from now.
We'll see.
Something does finally come out. Mm-hmm. Like, that's 8 years we haven't been able to see anything from her.
I know. Like, I know.
Seriously.
So.
Take that.
Shenmue 3 is now available. It's out mm-hmm. in the wild. 18 years since Shenmue 2. And we finally got the third chapter.
Yep.
Did you pick it up?
Yeah, I picked it up.
Have you played it?
Not yet.
Okay.
Still got to work on 1 and 2.
Taking it. Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you next year then. Well, a year from now at least.
In-game chat 2021.
Right. More than a year, our 1,000th episode. He just started Shenmue 3, folks. He's playing it on an emulator.
No.
While he's on a respirator.
Well, no, PS5 is supposed to be backwards compatible, isn't it?
People supposed to be a lot of things. Okay. We'll see.
I'm going to make sure mine still works.
I mean, we'll see. I don't know.
Because, that old saying, they don't make them like they used to. I mean, my Genesis still works. My Dreamcast still works. My PS3 still works.
You know, didn't they redo them on PS4?
Yeah, 1 and 2 is on PS4, yeah. Okay. And 3. So,
I'm wondering how you're playing them, or are you playing them old school?
No, I still remember everything from my Dreamcast. Still got the save.
Oh, okay.
Still got the save data from that, so I pretty much know what I'm going through. But I'm just wondering if everything I do in 1 and 2 would transfer to 3. I mean, for those who've put in the time in 1 and 2, are they just going to be starting from scratch, or are there going to be some benefit to that? I don't know.
I don't know.
Take a look at the Googlies.
Yep.
Yeah, that's something to look up.
Because you spend a lot of time building up skills and techniques in Shenmue. So what if they transfer over to 3? I'm thinking they should, but I don't know for sure, though.
The Game Awards are on December the 12th, and we got our nominees this week. What?
1 and 2 do, but not to 3.
But 3, yeah.
So 3 is starting from scratch.
Yeah.
Okay.
We got our nominees for the Game Awards. Now, I will go down this list, and I'm curious I really should have gotten Spigot back on the phone for this. Look, the Game Awards is something that is done. It's a passion project. It is a thing that he spends a lot of money out of his own pocket to make. And I'm talking about Jeff Keighley.
Mm-hmm. He's also, I have not seen him yet, by the way.
He is also a massive fan.
In Death Stranding.
Of Hideo Kojima. He's Kojima, anyway. Yeah. He is a fanboy to the highest extent of that. He is the Matt. Like, Matt is to Star Wars what Keighley is to Kojima. Just everything that man does is... By the way, Matt called and said he had finished Star Wars Fallen Order, Jedi Fallen Order, and he loved it, and he said it was well worth the time and the money. And I'm quoting him verbatim there. It's exactly word for word what he said. He didn't have a lot of time.
He rated it 11 out of 10.
Yeah. So yeah, Kojima, the Death Stranding gets a lot of nominations here, and it's brought up a little bit of concern. I mean, it's going to, when you are that tied into this guy's game, and look, the game hasn't been out but for maybe 2 weeks, and it almost, I think it pretty much topped the list of how many nominations it got.
Does it feel like one of them things where the newest title gets the most attention, so they just throw it in there?
No, not at all. Not at all. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate is in there, and that came out. That came out later. Resident Evil 2 is in there, and that came out earlier this year. The remake. So, you know, it's not necessarily based on release where that gets more. Sekiro. That's in there on some of these. Devil May Cry 5, Gears 5, that's all in there. So, Game of the Year nominees are Control, Death Stranding, Resident Evil 2, Sekiro, Smash Brothers, and The Outer Worlds. Best Action Game, Metro Exodus, which that came out in May, I think, or earlier than that, this year. Gears 5, Devil May Cry 5, Modern Warfare, Astral Chain, and Apex Legends. Action Adventure, Death Stranding is in there. Control, Borderlands 3, Sekiro, Link's Awakening, and Resident Evil 2. Best Art Direction, Death Stranding. Best Audio Design, Death Stranding. Best Narrative, Death Stranding. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Best Game Direction, Death Stranding. Best Score, Death Stranding. Best Performance, Death Stranding, with two nominations in that one. What else? Let's see. Best. What else did it get? I think that's the list. Because then it gets into esports and stuff like that. So yeah, Death Stranding got a lot of nominations. So did Control. But the issue comes with the fact that Keighley is so tied into Kojima for it to get all these things. Now Keighley has said over and over again, look, I have no participation in the voting or the nominees or anything like that. Although one of the people who are on the board to nominate is Kojima as well. So, yeah. I'm not saying it's justified. Do you feel, you heard some of the lists that I was going through. Do you feel any of that's just, you're only in chapter, what, three?
Three, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know.
It's collusion. No.
Yeah, right?
I'll be honest.
Like, it's not a big conspiracy or anything. I honestly don't buy into it. But I hope it doesn't sweep, because then I would actually have an issue with it, I think.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good stuff there, I think. So, what you sound like you look like you want to say something.
I mean, I don't really care.
Yeah, you don't care. That's fine.
I mean, the thing is I've never cared about his award show. Not that I think it's bad. It's just not one of the things like, you know, when Red Dead won some things last year.
Red Dead won some stuff last year.
And I was like, cool.
I can't remember everything it won last year.
It's not going to make me like or dislike a game more. But there are definitely some things it could win. Definitely.
God of War, I think, won last year.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, over Red Dead.
You know, I mean, I would just hope that it was fair voting.
Yeah.
You know, I do think it should win some things, because some of the things in there are very impressive. Its soundtrack, like you guys were talking about earlier.
Well, let me look at the score. And the score and music, we have Cadence of Hyrule, Death Stranding, Devil May Cry 5, Kingdom Hearts 3, and Sayonara Wild Hearts. I haven't heard any of those except Death Stranding. I think we played a track from Hearts 3 and Devil May Cry and Cadence as well.
I've played Devil May Cry a little bit.
Yeah.
And I played Kingdom Hearts. My wife's watched me play Death Stranding, Kingdom Hearts, and a little bit of Devil May Cry. And I'll say she's probably brought up the music to me 3 or 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
And she's never done that on a game.
Yeah.
So there's clearly something that... Because every single time she's like, oh, this music's really cool. And, you know, she's listened to the soundtrack and stuff. So it's like clearly something within that game has made her. Mm-hmm. You know, she doesn't really play games that often. So there's got to be something. So I'll definitely give it that. The other things, you know, meh.
Yeah, looking at now Game of the Year, I think it possibly, I think Game of the Year it has a very, very good shot at. I don't know about Control. I haven't played Control. I will probably put some time into it before these awards, since I'll be getting it this week at some point.
Yeah.
But I don't know about... I won't be in enough to say this is Game of the Year until I get through with it. But looking at... I'm trying to go through and find something where I've actually played a game with enough time to actually give you an idea. And actually, there's nothing in here with the exception of Best Art Direction. There is a game in here called... I think it's Gris or Gris.
Oh, the artsy one with the...
It's the one I played at PAX, not this past year, but last year.
What was the one? It was, the world was like in black and white. You did some things to bring color to it or something like that.
Something like that, sort of. But the art director, it was just beautiful.
Yeah, it was very, so very, arts, very artsy game. I remember.
Yeah, it was really, really beautiful. It was watercolor looking, and it was just amazing.
Yeah.
And so I can't... But I haven't played Sayonara Wild Hearts or Sekiro Shadows Die Twice or Link's Awakening. Death Stranding or Control. I haven't played any of those, so I can't really tell you that it's better than any of the others, but it, out of that one, obviously, God.
Which category is that?
Best Art Direction.
Best Art Direction, yeah.
And it looked fantastic. What else is in here? Best Community Support? Best Community Support, there is Apex Legends, Final Fantasy XIV, Fortnite, Rainbow Six Siege, and Destiny 2. I can only relate to Destiny 2 and tell you that, sure. Let's see, best fighting game, best family game. I haven't played a lot of this. Best narrative, A Plague Tale, the one about the rats. The game about the rats.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to play that.
Control is in there for best narrative. Death Stranding is in there for best narrative.
Huh.
I don't buy that because I feel like Kojima's all over the place, but... I haven't played it, so I don't know. The Outer Worlds is in there. Obsidian is pretty good about doing a narrative. They're pretty good about telling a story. Disco Elysium is something I've heard monumental praise over. And I'm picking something that I out of all of those, and I haven't played any of them, I feel like Disco is the one that's going to win. It feels just pretentious enough. that it could win that. But I don't know.
What are these?
For the Game Awards?
No, when?
December 12th.
Okay.
And it'll be streamed online.
What's more likely for Death Stranding to win none of them or to win all of them?
I think it's more likely for Death Stranding to win, to come away with the most one. You know what I'm saying?
But which one? Which one do you think would
be more? None.
Oh, no. I think I don't think they're going to sweep, but I don't think they're not going to win all of them. I mean, what I'm saying is, when it's all said and done, I think they're going to come away winning the most of the awards. They may lose a category or two that they're nominated in, but they'll still be like, Death Stranding won the most awards. They were nominated 7 times, and they walked away with 5 or 6 awards, 6 wins. They might sweep. If they sweep, good luck with the forums. Good luck in the forums, Jeff, if Death Stranding sweeps. Because you will be called, I won't say the names, but you'll be called the conspiracy theories will be through the roof on how you rigged it.
But that's how you get people talking about your show now.
Well, yeah, I know. I know, exactly. We are way past time to take a break here, because I got off on a rant there. When we come back, we'll talk about some more Black Friday sales that came up. Yeah, no, fun stuff.
It's our favorite time of the year.
It is. Right now, we're going back to Super NES, back when the Super NES released, and I have no idea if this, if Nate was alive or not before this.
Over under.
Yeah, I know. I'm gonna say that you had not been born yet when this was released. The name of the game, everything that was released on Super Nintendo at launch, was just taking previous titles from the NES days and putting Super in front of it. And I mean, when I was searching, there was so much that was just super, 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 super. Such as the case with this, which was Super RBI Baseball. And that's what this track is. Do you want to look that? Are you? What is? Hang on, I can find out.
What's
real
that?
Quick.
Super RBI Baseball.
Super RBI Baseball.
June of 95.
Oh wow, you were already born. Yep. All right, well, here's the music from that. We'll be back with more in Game Chat right after this.
I may have been playing it.
Maybe. No. Back to in-game chats. RJ, do you know the music for that? Maybe not.
Mm-mm.
It's SNES. It's called Pocky and Rocky.
Not ringing any bells.
Yeah, it's got a very Asian slant to it. Like ninjas or something, I don't know. If you looked at the box art, you might recognize it.
I'm going to have to look that up.
And we also need to find out if Nate was born upon release.
Yeah, I'm getting the list together.
Who released first, Nate or the video game? It sounds horrible.
That's a tricky one.
Which is why I keep saying it, because it sounds horrible.
Because it's 92.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, so now you've got to figure out what
month
it was done.
Now, yeah. Like I said, the year is fine. I can get that fine. But the month, that's where it gets tricky. I'm going to make sure I'm going to have a few of those thrown in there with it.
Anyway,
did any of them? The question is: have any released on my birthday?
Oh, then we got to get down to the date. What day were you born?
The 11th.
No. What was the day? Was it a Tuesday?
I have no clue.
What was the?
I'd have to look.
What? Okay. When was it?
I can look it up.
No. What's the month day?
January.
January 11th, 1992.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Saturday, so I'm going to say no.
No.
You probably didn't have any releases on your birthday.
However, that was a wild year.
I guess so.
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
It was the last time the Redskins won a Super Bowl.
Stick with the sports. I'm going to throw that spreadsheet into our chat room there so
Thank
we can
you.
Have it for
I was
later.
Just about to pull it up.
I'm putting that into our Google chat list. I already put it in the stream chat room. So What do we have here? Some Black Friday deals that were. Let me make sure there's nothing else I want to go over here. We didn't talk about Half-Life.
Oh, what happened?
What kind of age are we living in where we actually have a brand new Half-Life game being released?
Fun fact, I've still never played Half-Life.
That's fine.
Same here.
The problem is that you...
I want to, I just haven't.
You didn't live through what was
no,
the...
I didn't.
You kind of did. I mean, Half-Life released, it was amazing. And then Half-Life 2 was released, and also just... again, one of those amazing type of things. It laid the groundwork for Steam. I mean, it put Valve on the map. I mean, I don't know how to categorize it other than like
it's a beloved title.
It's like a Star Wars of video game worlds where, for the longest time, we only had Half-Life, Half-Life 2, and then Half-Life. Half-Life 2, Episode 1, and Episode 2.
Yep.
And we never got... When did they do the... They did episodes and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Were those Half-Life 2, Episode 1, or what?
I think it was still Half-Life 2.
Yeah, anyway, they made more of them, but they stopped. And they only... They stopped in, like... What year? 2007.
Yeah.
First release was November 19th of 98, and Half-Life 2 Episode 2 was October 10th of 2007.
Yeah. And there's nothing since.
Nothing.
Until now.
However, I have loved watching that guy's YouTube channel. Remember the one that would always like leak out? Remember we were talking about the time he leaked out like anything with Half-Life? He would like go in the game code and stuff like that, and he started getting depressed.
You don't remember? Mm-mm.
No.
But, Orange Box. Episode 3 never released. They were supposed to have 3 episodes. They left it on a cliffhanger, and they haven't revisited it. And now, for the first time in that many years, we have a new Half-Life game. Now, it's not going to pick up where Episode 2 left off. It's not going to fulfill that cliffhanger. It takes place between, Half-Life 1 and Half-Life 2, I believe, is where the story takes place in this. Which I think is good that they're doing that, only for the fact that this is a VR-only title. It's
believed to take place closer to the events of Half-Life 2.
Yeah. And so...
So it's still 1.5.
Yeah, that's what he says. It's episode 1.5-ish.
Yeah.
It's VR-only, which means if you don't have VR, you're not going to be able to play this. What you could do, obviously, and what you most likely will do is watch YouTube videos of people playing this.
Okay.
So that you can, experience it through them if you do not have VR. Limiting it to just VR-only is a good... If they had continued it from Episode 2 into Episode 3 but made it VR-only, I don't know if people would have been mad so much as it would have... driven sales of VR. New PCs and VR sales would have gone through the roof. I don't know. I don't think it would have angered people. I mean, yeah, you'd have your naysayers and stuff saying they shouldn't do this. But at the same time, I think you'd still have people buying.
Yep.
And I think you're still going to see that.
Yeah.
People getting in on this to do this.
So the title's big enough to do that.
This title is.
Yeah. I mean, I've always thought about it. I can't justify buying a console or system for one game. I need to see more.
Right.
That's me. That's personally my opinion on
this. This is the point where one game can sell a system.
Yeah.
Can sell a peripheral, I guess.
Yeah. One of the titles that can do that. Not many can.
That is a thing. Not much further to go in to say about that.
Hey, look, we just talked about Shenmue 3. How many years? 18?
Yeah, right.
So hey, Half-Life 3 might be on the way.
That's the thing. They did Left 4 Dead, and then they did Left 4 Dead 2, and they couldn't make a Left 4 Dead 3. They did Portal, and they did a Portal 2, and they couldn't do a Portal 3. They did Team Fortress and Team Fortress 2, and they couldn't do a 3.
And then the zombie game.
I did Left 4 Dead.
I already talked about
Left 4 Dead and Left 4 Dead 2, and they couldn't do a 3. So
yeah.
I don't know. Mm. Ugh, coffee grounds. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right, so I pulled up some Black Friday deals, some more that came in. Most of these are like your digital stuff, like Epic Game Store is having a Black Friday sale.
Xbox.
Xbox is having theirs. PlayStation is having theirs right now. These are the digital stores that are having theirs. The Best Buy has PS4 and PSVR deals.
PS4 Pro?
No, but PS4 Pros are down to $300.
Okay.
Which is about $100 off of what they were last year.
Mm-hmm.
They were like $399. Okay, so last year the PS4 Pros were going for, I think, $450, and then Black Friday knocked them down $50 to $400, $399. Mm-hmm. Now they're down another $100 to $299.
Yeah.
So that's what the Pros are going for now.
Yeah. The thing about the Pros for me is that I don't have a
4K TV.
The only benefit I would get would be what faster load times or whatever, yeah. Right?
You're in the same boat that I was in mostly.
Yeah.
Was that I didn't have any 4K screen to play anything on, so I wasn't that concerned with it, but yet I was still picking up the consoles.
Two things I'll say.
Yeah, go ahead.
I got for when I traded my console in, I got a $160 trade in at Best or GameStop for it.
Well, when I did my trade in, they were having a special.
Yeah, that whole.
And so I brought in my old one, and it was a special where you could bring this in, and it goes towards more than half the cost of the PS4 Pro. And then I took in some games as well, and got pretty much only paid $50 for my PS4 Pro. Mm-hmm.
And basically, I traded in a game or two. I paid $200 for the Pro,
mm-hmm.
and got Death Stranding included. So that
because you got the Death Stranding system.
Technically saved me another $60.
So, PS4 game deals for Black Friday: Modern Warfare be $40, Days Gone for $20.
Which Modern Warfare is already on sale at Walmart and Amazon
for like $38. You're dropping it a dollar, yeah.
Which I picked it up today.
God of War is $10. Horizon Zero Dawn Complete Edition is $10. Last of Us Remastered, $10. Nathan Drake Collection, $10. Uncharted 4, $10.
The big, which I think is a great deal.
Bloodborne, $10.
If you haven't owned a PS4 yet, is the PS4 bundle. It's $200. And you get
God of War. Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah.
And Last of Us Remastered.
Which is, to me...
That's a heck of a good intro to games on the PS4, man. It really is.
And that's a lot of playtime right there between those three.
Three good story-based, long, involved games right there.
Yeah. Spider-Man Game of the Year Edition, which comes with all the DLC, that's $15. Kingdom Hearts 3 is $15.
That's what you need to jump on.
This is Best Buy.
Spider-Man right now, I have not picked up the DLC at all, so if I just buy Game of the Year Edition, because it should be... $30.
Yeah,
it was 30. The DLC, if I bought it right now at the PlayStation Show, would be $30. So why do that? Just get the $15 disc with everything on it. $15. Be done with it.
The Days Gone. Does that come with any DLC or no?
Didn't say. It's just Days Gone.
Okay.
It's not a like special edition or anything. Okay.
Probably doesn't.
Just Days Gone for $20. I imagine if there is some sort of a Days Gone Gold Edition that comes with all the DLC or something, that's probably reduced. Mm-hmm. But it's probably more like $35. If this is going for $20, it's probably going for $35.
Yeah.
The GameStop Black Friday deals, looking at that right now. The Doorbusters, a Nintendo Switch bundle. You'll get a free copy of Mario Kart plus a $25 gift coupon, but you'll be paying the regular price for that.
Now, warning, have you seen the warning about the Switch?
No.
Any Mario Kart bundles, the ones that have the game preloaded, mm-hmm. Mario Kart on the box, are the old console.
Yes, it's not, not the new one.
Mm.
Yeah, and the Nintendo Switch Lite will be regular price, but you'll get a $25 gift coupon if you buy it Saturday or Sunday. Division 2 will be $12. That's a doorbuster at GameStop. Anthem is $5.
It's a big sale.
$5.
$5 holla.
Yeah, their PS4 1 TB bundle with those games we mentioned, same price. The PS4 Pro White Edition, 1 TB, you will get that for regular price, but $300. But you'll get a $25 gift coupon with that.
Mm.
The Xbox One X Limited Edition, 1 TB bundle with NBA 2K20 is...
Why are you laughing?
Just doesn't seem like a... thing.
That's not a system seller.
Well, I don't know. It retail, or you can buy it for about $350. $350. Xbox One, that's another S. Yeah. Nintendo Switch bundles, this. Yeah. Software, not really. Spider-Man's $20, Gears 5 is $30, Breath of the Wild's $40, Red Dead Redemption, I think they meant to put a 2 there, they didn't, but that's $30. Collectibles, accessories, blech.
Anything in particular you guys are looking for?
Control.
Spider-Man, the Game of the Year edition for me. And like I said before, Judgment. If the price is good enough, I'll pick that up. Go ahead and pick that up. So I've still got the, I've still got all the Yakuza titles, Shenmue, of course, and then of course the bundle of 3, 4, and 5 coming out in February. But that's from a while back. But for Black Friday, just those two titles right now that that comes to mind.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm looking to pick up Control. And what else was I looking? Well, again, I had to buy a fridge.
Yeah, fridge.
It's kind of
priorities, man. Priorities.
It's kind of put a dent into my Black Friday spending. Not that I was really going to go hog wild with anything. I was looking at, and I posted this in our little chat on the G chat, was that, you know, SSD prices have really dropped.
Yeah.
A Samsung Evo, a 1 terabyte used to be in the 500 or more range. Now it's like, $100. Here you go, 1 terabyte SSD, a good quality brand SSD for like $100. So I'm thinking I might be picking up some storage space. I might, here's what might be happening here. I might be in the process of doing another PC. I might be starting the process of building another PC.
Just gathering gathering pieces right now,
slowly gathering pieces, exactly.
So I worked with mine.
You know?
It took a minute, but yeah, I'm just slowly gathering pieces. The SSD, this PC I got, the one that I built, was the first my first foray into solid-state drives. So I got a Samsung 500 gig. It wasn't $100, but it was it's been working pretty good. But that's a pretty good deal, just in the hundreds for a 1 terabyte, you said, didn't it?
Well, yeah, just yeah. I think it's 110 or something. Yeah.
110,
so,
yeah.
Real quick, check G-Chat.
Oh, okay.
I'm just curious of what the price difference is. So I paid...
Cool, good Lord.
Those were... Those were around Black Friday holiday sales that I got last year when I was building my PC.
Yeah. That Evo, that Samsung's 860 Evo 1 terabyte is like you paid, I see what you paid last year for that. It's about $30 cheaper now.
Okay.
You know, it's dropped about $30. So, yeah.
You mentioned something about a...
now that's with tax and shipping.
Yeah.
Yeah. You mentioned something about a 12 terabyte external drive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. From Best Buy. They dropped... the drop price in there.
I mean, it's, yeah, it is. It's on there right now. Hang on. God, I don't know if I have time for this.
No, no, no.
I'm going to fire off this. What is it playing at? I was playing that too. I'm going to go ahead and fire off this music.
It was just Best Buy, right?
Yeah.
I'll look around Best Buy site and see if that, see what that says.
Because
that's our cue.
It is, but I really want to find hard drive printers. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Give it to me, give it to me, give it to me. Not printers. Where's the big one? There it is. Easy Store 12 terabyte external USB hard drive 3.0, $179.
Oh, okay. Okay.
You're saving $100. So there you go. Hey, guys. Yeah. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We got to go. This is music from X-Men 2 Clone Wars, Climbing the Tower. I think this is Genesis. I can't remember. But have a great one. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. We're not going to be here next week, but we'll see you 2 weeks from today. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
See ya.